Why don't we go back and look at our minutes from our meeting, previous two meetings?
Move to approve those minutes?
Do we have a second?
Second.
Mark, a second, yeah.
Can we approve them both at the same time?
Yes.
I think we have to do one at a time.
Okay.
Move to approve the first set of minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So, February 11th meeting minute. Do we have a motion to approve?
I moved. Hi, Mark.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. So, got that? Any public comments? Okay, chairman's comments. Lots of stuff going on, but it's more going on at the health department. I think everybody's tied up in their own roles.
Diane Gerlach.
There is.
You can mute yourselves if you're not talking.
There is a webinar from the CDC today, if anyone is interested. It sounds interesting. It's actually about kids, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children associated with COVID-19. Also, NALBO is having a second town hall meeting on the 28th. You can register for that. Basically, we're having just kind of open discussion. This time we are having legal and ethical issues session, and Jill Krieger, a lawyer, is going to be the main speaker on this. It's really just a short talk, and then it's whatever questions people have, and it's all related to questions Board of Health have. So it's all meant for you guys. That's all I have.
Can you email links to those seminars to us?
Sure, I'll send them to Karen, and you can, and I'll send them to Karen right now because it's at 1 o'clock right after this.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Corporate counsel report.
Where's not there?
I don't think my son is here.
Okay. Then move on to Jen.
I do see John Moyer is on, and it looks like he just unmuted. Maybe he had something to say. Or maybe not. All right. He just muted himself again. All right. Well, John, if you want to jump in at any time, you can. Yeah, so I just felt very disconnected from all of you. And I feel like we've been such a fast freight train moving in the COVID track that all other health things have completely fallen away. I can't even imagine what we were doing before COVID and life before COVID. And, you know, so we haven't even begun to think about coming back to old health department functions and what that'll look like in the future. But so much has been happening. So much is changing every day with COVID. And I just felt like I needed to connect with all of you and help answer any questions. I know you're getting the twice a week situation reports, but, you know, obviously, especially with this last week with the Supreme Court decision that, you know, we were expecting, but it threw us for a huge loop. And we were up all night until midnight trying to recraft, you know, because Statute 252 still allows a local health officer the power to put in an order locally. So we were up all night. We had the city mayor, the county exec, corp counsel, Ted Battle from CABA, all sorts of people agreeing we needed to keep our order for Kenosha County because of our high incidence rates and our high positive test rates. And, you know, we are behind the curve from a lot of the rest of the state. And then Thursday morning, obviously there was lots of hate mail, lots of pushback. It was a pretty scary situation, and the Wisconsin Counties Association came out with a conflicting, their attorney had a conflicting message, thinking 252 did not offer us the authority that we thought locals had. And so a rash decision was made to withdraw our order for Kenosha County. And then on Friday, you saw the attorney general came out and said, yes, locals do have the authority. You can put in your own orders. But at that point, we had already withdrawn ours, and you can't put the, what is the phrase, the cat back in the bag or something? I don't know what the phrase is. So, you know, the political will was gone then, and it, you know, it was just, you know, then we started getting the other hate mail with the blood is on our hands, and, you know, how we're killing people. And in public health, clearly, it's devastating. Like, I was depleted on Friday. I had nothing left to give. I'm still trying to recover from that. The staff at the health department is just, you know, because in, it's kind of like in the medical world, right? First do no harm, public health, you know, these are tools that we have at our disposal to save lives. And now we're not able to use some of them. And so, and we can now see that we need to ramp up workforce because we'll get many, many more positives and many more contacts, and we're going to have a very difficult time containing this virus now because of that. So we're now hearing from household contacts to positives that don't want to be quarantined. They don't want to give their name. People are not wanting to be compliant. We're now hearing from businesses that say, well, I don't need to help control the virus when we call them because the Supreme Court ruled and we're open now. And, you know, so we're fighting this message now that the virus has not changed and Kenosha County is still way behind, but people are just not seeing that. And they feel like we're open, it's back to business as usual. And not everyone, we certainly have, you know, I'm venturing a made up guess of like 75 to 90% of our businesses want to be compliant in some fashion. They want to open and they want to do it safely and well. We're reviewing tons of business plans. We're talking to many, many businesses, you know, trying to help them to reopen safely. But we're also in the process with Corporation Council to develop, you know, restrictions on mass gatherings, any groups over 10 people, which we still have the authority to put orders out for that. Our orders for like our long-term care facilities are still in place that allows no visitors and only workers only working at one facility at a time to minimize spread for our most vulnerable population. And, you know, so there's other things we can still do. I can still close down a business that's not compliant. And we haven't had to do that yet, but I can see that that's coming because people are just really, they're done and they don't want to be compliant anymore or even test their workforce anymore. So we're starting in this new weird shift in this whole pandemic response that is going to be a very trying time for public health. And, you know, it's really easy for all the, for people to see the hospitals on the nightly news, right? Where it's like bodies everywhere, the nurses and doctors are overwhelmed. And so people get it, what it means when a hospital's overwhelmed, but they don't understand like public health, right? So we were already at critical max capacity with the safer at home in place. And now with it not in place, like we're just, you know, veering off the cliff. So we're desperately trying to get student nurses, volunteers, people that can come help us do contact tracing. And you know, to relieve us because now we have half of our staff that needs to get back to restaurant inspections. And all of those staff before were in the COVID response. They were able to help us do contact investigations and that sort of thing. So not only are we losing half of our staff, but the caseload is going to rise. And so it's a real daunting prospect right now for the Division of Health and how we're moving forward. So it's timely that we're all meeting right now. I wanted to meet with you all to reconnect and, you know, to share some stuff. And then obviously since last Wednesday night, the whole tide of everything has changed and we need your support now more than ever. you know, so I just sort of wanted to be able to answer questions and see what your thoughts are with everything.
Well, I for one think you've been doing an excellent job under very difficult circumstances. A lot of this is learn as you go, and the court ruling really threw us off, and followed by the Wisconsin County's ruling, and then followed by the Attorney General's ruling. I mean, it changed every day, and I agree that it was hard once you rescinded the order. You can't put it back out there again, and I can understand where the county executive and the mayor are in political situations, and I can understand the mail you've been getting on both sides of the issue. It's just an unusual time. That's my comment.
If I could speak up, a couple things. First of all, you know, I think that this is the opportunity for the health department to really explain the purpose of public health. You know, public health seems to be something that is put on the back burner unless we have a pandemic, and then all of a sudden we hear that there is, you know, an organization like this. So, you know, first of all, thinking to the future, obviously I'm hoping that people will see the need for a public health department that is strong, whether that's federal funds or state funds or local funds. As far as putting the cat back in the bag, you know, I just kind of want to go on record saying that the mayor was ready to put the cat back in the bag. He did not agree with withdrawing it. And so, you know, if we need to do something, you know, his message to the board and to Jen and to everybody is, you know, his priority is the health of the citizens of this city and this county. And, you know, so whatever we need to do in order to promote that health, you know, that's kind of where he's at. And that's what he will be supporting. So, you know, for him, the only political thing was, you know, that as far as he's concerned, you know, the buck stops there, and he was willing to say, wait, this is a problem, and should not have been done, and so let's do it again. And then as far as the contact tracing, Jen, that you mentioned, and losing half the staff, are there any funds available? I know that there are, I have a friend in Virginia who has just picked up a part-time job doing contact tracing. Do we have access to any extra funds where we can start, you know, hiring people to stay at home and do the contact tracing?
So, yeah, first of all, the mayor's been amazing. We've been on the phone every day together, several times a day. He's been so supportive of the public health mission. I mean, I can't thank him enough. I mean, it's been amazing to work with him and how supportive he is and understanding of the public health crisis that we're in. So the contact tracing, we have received $0. We have received nothing to date. We are supposed to get $95,000 from the state. Well, I can tell you our overtime budget alone to date throughout this COVID response is already at $55,000. I mean, so $95,000 from the state is nothing. There is the CARES Act that we're supposed to hear about today at 2 o'clock and to see if the local municipalities will get, you know, that's like $2.3 billion or something. I don't remember. We're supposed to get a piece of that. I don't know how much. And that is supposed to help with contact tracing. But this pandemic is going to cost the Division of Health in the county big time. I mean, it's the amount of, you know, overtime, the amount that we've neglected all of our other grants and programs, the amount of license and fee loss from our clinics. I mean, there's going to be a big fiscal impact to this. And so we're tabulating all that right now, but and normally right now we're working on the 2021 budget, you know, so there's going to be a lot that's going to come from all of this. I think the state has kept $5.5 million back to woman up a contact tracing strike team, hundreds and hundreds of people. We have been arguing for Kenosha County that we don't want them to hire contact tracers in Madison. We want that here. And you know, granted, their sort of argument is, well, up in northern Wisconsin and other places, they don't have the HR departments or the IT departments to ramp this up. And I've been arguing just as recent as last night with the state health department saying, I have an HR department that can ramp up. I have an IT department that can get us laptops and cell phones for every person. Let me hire the people here so that we're giving good customer service. So when somebody on the phone says, well, I went at Walgreens next to the Culver's. Yeah. The one on Sheridan, you know, like we know our county, like we need to be able to have local people. I don't want a robot in Madison that just is answering a black and white question, you know, as contact tracing. We want to be able to keep the customer service in house. But with that said, I fear that because we're not getting money, because, you know, the state has kept this money back, if they don't distribute that down to us, that we're going to be forced to use the state's contact training. So they are hiring people. They've hired something like hundreds of people. They've got 900 applications for $20 an hour. So they are hiring those people right now to train them on contact tracing. But again, it's not Kenosha County specific. And that's the part that I'm really struggling with. So we'll see. Today at 2 o'clock, we'll find out about this CARES funding. You know, if my hand is forced, I'm going to have to go to utilizing this state cadre of people. And I talked to them about how we can have local control of these people. If there was, out of the 900 applicants that they got across the state, give me the ones that came from Kenosha County, you know, that, you know, they'll be a state employee, but so that we can have local people. So we're working on that whole part. And Clara Tappa with HR has been amazing. We've talked to like Gateway and other colleges about their student nurses who may need field, you know, clinical hours. This is telehealth at its finest. So we're working on those agreements right now to get them to help us. You know, so we're working on many, many avenues to get help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, my long answer. Sorry.
Hope it works out.
Right.
Can I interject just one thing, Jen?
Yeah.
You're doing a wonderful job of keeping this thing under control and doing the tracing under the circumstances. I took a ride on Sunday along the Collar County that we have to Illinois, and all the places that I saw were people from Illinois basically coming in to Kenosha County. To all these places, all the way out to Camp Lake and that surrounding area. That's where some of this is going to flare up, I think. Are we checking these places going forward?
So that was part of the issue on Thursday when I had put in the local order. The sheriff's department, while compliant, was quite panicked. How do we enforce this? How do we police this? You know, there was a very big fear of riots, of, you know, people west of the eye with their guns, I kept hearing. And, you know, so they were very nervous about how do we enforce this. On Thursday, before the WCA legal opinion, we had crafted a letter from the health department. So literally the sheriff's department would just go with the health department letter saying, we're not going to cite you. We're not going to force you to close, but we're recommending you close. Here's a letter. But then that all got wiped off the table when I was told to rescind. So, that's the piece that's not going to happen, is the whole enforcement piece. I mean, certainly if people call the sheriff's department, you know, citizen complaint, they'll stop out. They'll suggest they not be there, and then they're going to leave. There's no citation. There's no arrest. There's no enforcement piece to that. And that's the part that I had no real control over.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's disheartening. And, you know, and not to bash the Illinois residents or anything. I mean, we live on a border, you know, and, you know, we have commuters that go down there and they have people that come up here. And, you know, that's where we need to get our guidelines in place. One thing I do want to say, in case you haven't seen it yet, which I'll have Karen send it out because it just dawned on me, I may not have sent it to you guys yet, is before the Safer at Home, before the Supreme Court decision, we had a Kenosha County Kickstart plan. You know, everybody has to have their fancy name, we're Kenosha County Kickstart, and it was how businesses were to reopen. Got buy-in from the mayor, the county exec, CABA, you know, all the right people, Nathan from Pleasant Prairie, and it was going to be our requirements for businesses to reopen, you know, to have a plan in place to ensure their employees are wearing masks, to ensure their social distancing, you know, all the good rot. And after rescinding the order on Thursday, that became merely best practices or recommendations. So we had to greatly redact the plan, make it just recommendations. I mean, clearly we're finding a good number of businesses want guidance. So the guidance is still needed, they still want it, and we're giving it out. It's just not an enforcement or a requirement anymore. It's just best practices, recommendations. And so CABA still has 11 sector work groups that are reviewing the Kickstart plan that we wrote. And then there's a task force of those leaders of the 11 sector work groups that are going to approve it on Thursday, and we'll put out a final on Friday. But I'm gonna have Karen send you the draft plan there so you can see what it is. But it's, you know, the Badger bounce back came out that had the gating criteria, and we're still using that gating criteria. We're nowhere near that yet. Meeting that phase one gating criteria yet, but we're open, right? So, so anyway, we're using that Kickstart plan as the teeth, not enforcement teeth, if you will, but the details, the devil's in the details that the Badger bounce back and Weedick missed are in our Kenosha County Kickstart plan. So yeah, we'll get that to you. Just so you know what's going on out there.
Jen, this is Jim Foster. I've been in and out just because I still got to play doctor here today. But I just, probably most of this has already been said, but I think you're doing a great job. And I thought I was going to have to go on blood pressure meds the last week, but it just is insane. But I hope the supervisors, John, and I hope we can keep some sanity at that level, because I know folks want to get back, but we can't ignore the science, and, you know.
I think that's where we need some assistance. I think we're receiving some pushback and people not understanding the public health science and data. You know, I'm out every Wednesday night, you know, talking to the world, trying to explain, you know, the science and data, and there's always going to be people that don't believe, but I'm going to let Supervisor O'Day address that as well, too.
Well, it's come to the county board, and we've not really, I can't address the fact that they don't wear masks. I can't address the fact that they text on their phones during a meeting. I've tried with the Corporation Council, my hands are tied. I encourage it, but I can't force them. I can advise them, as you are too. There's no accounting for being lack of common sense, okay? I would use other words, but I won't.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's definitely an area that, you know, and when I say now is the time we need Board of Health support more than ever, I don't quite know exactly what I'm asking. We need something. And however, if you guys have ideas, whatever format that is, you know, I don't know, would a letter from the Board of Health to the county board be appropriate or even helpful? I don't know.
It would be appropriate.
It would be appropriate.
Yep. Absolutely.
I think also that at some point, whether it's the Board of Health or whether it's you backed by the Board of Health or what, we need to make it very clear, using very small words, that the legal decision by the lawyer for the Wisconsin county, which was wrong, and we have to keep saying that, they were wrong, that is why we're open right now. And it doesn't mean that we are safe, and it doesn't mean that people should be going out. And in a sense, we need to encourage both the political side of things to stand up and do the right thing, at the same time that we also need to encourage businesses. I personally have lost 5 clients in the last week because I have said, no, I'm not going to open up. And while that, you know, 5 out of 40, that's a significant portion. And it's only going to grow because I'm watching the polarity between my clients. But that is going to happen with all the businesses. And so, you know, finding some way that we as a Board of Health can acknowledge and thank the, you know, the people who are doing the right thing, the restaurants who have said, yeah, you know what, it's just not safe for our people. I mean, I know that on the Kenosha Cares, you know, Facebook page or whatever, they've got a list of the businesses who have said, you know, the restaurants who have said, yeah, no, it's not safe. You know, we can't do this properly. And I think kind of calling those people out and giving them some positive press would also be a good thing, because, you know, we need to give them the support that they need in order to do what is right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to all out of the box ideas. I'm depleted. We need help. We need help to get the public health message across, and we're struggling. So whatever ideas you have, we're open.
Just want to touch on, if I may, on the fiscal part of that we talked about. We came into this pandemic with a good amount of reserve, and they had a conversation Thursday night with the Finance Committee. We were at that point sitting at 28% in reserves. So even if your budget is getting out of whack, it's not so far out of whack that we can't do it within the 2020 budget. This doesn't say that the 2021 is going to be any fun to put together. But the 2020, we're going to weather this storm much better than we did in 2008, 2010. When we had a big downturn in the Kenosha area then. So, from what I'm getting in the finance department, I think we'll end up being okay.
That's good to hear. It's good to hear. It's been worrisome because, you know, our crews are working eight day weeks, mm-hmm. you know, 15 right. hour days. I mean, like, because positives are coming in at all hours of the day, people are dying, you know, like we can't not respond, you know, especially now. It's, you know, people, the sooner we can call them and put them in isolation or quarantine, and if they're compliant, otherwise, if we don't call them for 2 days, that's 2 days of them out spreading it all over the community. So, I mean, we're having to respond around the clock, you know, which is costing money. You know, that was another thing, just as a future little aside, our nurses, our public health nurses in the Division of Health are still hourly. And I think that harks back from old union days, but most other health departments mm-hmm. by now had switched their nurses to being exempt employees. And boy, are we biting it now because we're still hourly. So they're getting all those overtime hours. So that was something I started to broach in December, within a month of me being on the job, of like, why aren't our nurses exempt? And, you know, the thought was at that time, oh, well, let's look at it for the 2021 budget. We'll make them exempt then. Yeah.
Well, Jen, this is Jim Foster. I don't mind, and again, I've been in and out, but I don't mind trying to draft the first version of a letter, but I would want a lot of input. I mean, maybe we could kick it around between everybody.
Sure.
And at least get something started. And I'm just totally disgusted with what happened, people feel strongly on both sides of this, unfortunately. So I'm going to try to be diplomatic, but maybe that's wrong. I don't know, you know, but I could try to do a first draft and get something off to folks to start beating up and adding to and whatever.
That would be amazing. Thank you.
This is Diane. Should this letter also go to something like the letter to the editor, or where the public is going to be seeing it more?
I would hope so.
Yeah, and I think they would let you write up to a 500 word column. They're letting all the nonprofits executive directors do it once a month to send their information, but I think yours would be really important to get, you know, a 500 instead of the voice of the people is 150 words or whatever. You should be able to get a 500 word column, you know, with no problem.
So how big is that? Would anybody see it?
The other aspect to that is we have Leanne here, and Leanne has stepped up into the public information officer role during this COVID, And she's been directing the Joint Information Center of all the police and fire and emergency managers on how to handle the media during this response. So I am sure Leanne with the JIC could get it far and wide in the media.
Yeah. Joe Patenti can help with that too. Yeah, we need to get the word out. And maybe it's a weekly message that we need to get out to get all this information out.
I love all the above.
Yeah. Well, you,
I think
you
got the desperation. Message.
You got the go forward message from everybody on the board. We're 100% behind you. And yeah, go forward and let's get it out there, get this information out. Because this thing is just politically charged and it shouldn't be. And
right,
you, and both sides of the issues are very vocal on each side. And I don't know what the answer is. You can't put that fire out now, but we can try.
It's been terrifying. I mean, we have staff that are afraid to come to the job center. I mean, the level of hate we got on Thursday for putting an order in place was, it's so dangerous. I have to have security walking me to my car at night now. Mm-hmm. And and then, you know, the gut wrenching on Friday of like, the blood is in your hands. You will kill people, which we know mm-hmm. the death rate will go up. So, I mean, it's, yeah.
It's real and it's frustrating and it's incredibly difficult when you have a situation where people have decided that they don't have to pay attention to the science. And I think that's one of the things that we can try to depoliticize as much as we can and simply say that, you know, the virus is not political. The virus is not, you know, does not care whether somebody votes at all or, you know, who they vote.
You believe.
I understand. I mean, believe me, I got a diatribe this morning, but and I decided that, you know, I really needed to just put it aside because when it started out with "you coronavirus fascist," I decided that I just needed to kind of like let that one go. Right.
Yep.
But, you know, the idea is that in this letter, you know, we have to really go back to what is the science. What does that mean? And what do people need to do? I am finding that there are a lot of people who are so overwhelmed with all of the flurry of articles and things that they just need some very basic, you know, what do I do? Where do I go? And why are you saying that? And, you know, to do the science, you know, digest of this is what we know, this is what we're learning about various medications. I mean, this is what we're saying now about children, you know, that we need to be aware of this. You know, it used to be that, oh, the kids are fine, you know. Now we're saying no, they're not, you know. So as we're looking at potential things for the future, I think, you know, one of the things could be some sort of just an educational column, like Mark was saying, of, you know, this is what we know, this is what we're doing, this is what we're finding, and just kind of see if we can do some sort of a monthly educational thing in the news or even on the radio to try to get the word out to people.
The mayor has been going on the radio once a week. He's on today at 1 o'clock again. And yeah, the radio, WLIP will let you say anything you need to say it. I think they're starving for the right information too. Yeah.
And part of the reason that he's been going on the radio is because a whole lot of the community really truly doesn't understand that it is a county health department. And so, you know, he's getting the hate mail too. And he's like, I don't even have, you know, he's like, I have a voice, but he can't do it. So he's trying to just get the word out and saying, you know, this is what we're doing. This is what, why the, you know, things are closed in the parks. This is, you know, and get that kind of, and calm people down. But, you know, I agree. Let's try to look at doing some WLIP stuff.
And you want to talk about hate?
you know, I talk about hate mail. I'm the chairman of the Kenosha County Dog Parks. When we closed those parks, my email blew up, and I still get it every day. So, I mean, even something small. And we were the last county to close our dog parks. Yeah, it's crazy. Go ahead.
This is Diane. Can we also maybe combine or go with the healthcare systems in the area and have one statement that's a joint from all of us?
Oh, good luck.
I know.
You know what?
So,
I would.
But listen, I think there's plausibility to that because Leanne's been talking to Lisa Just from Aurora 2 to 3 times a week. I've been talking to Rick Schmidt from Freighter South. I think there's some merit to that, and I think it might be able to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because if you've got a unified front of all the science in town, you may have a stronger voice.
Don't
forget about including children's in there as well.
Right.
I guess what I would envision would be for the letter or whatever signed by the board, the longer and more complicated we make it, the fewer people are probably really going to read through it. Mm-hmm. And I sort of think we may need one statement just to kind of get the ship back in the right direction and say, you know, what we are trying to support. And then in addition, though, whether it's weekly or whatever, the science is just slippery as an eel right now, as you know, and it's the study, things are getting released prematurely, and they're getting, the intent is good, but studies that would normally go through 5 months of reviews are getting cranked out, and it's really hard to sort out what, but I think that should be separate. And maybe just try to stay lean. Plus, I think a simpler statement initially may be easier to get sign on from the hospitals too. I'd be open, by the way, to Jim Foster. I'd be open to anybody emailing me with whether it's certain phrases, because a lot of good stuff's come out here, whether it's just certain topics you think need to be addressed or whatever, at least for this first letter, kind of like an open letter to our community. I don't know.
Could you put it on a Google Doc? And then that way, if it's on a Google Doc, we can all kind of do some edits at the same time. And that way we can actually kind of create it together.
I'm happy to. If I can figure out how to do it.
Get your draft to Karen, and Karen will get it for us in Google Docs.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
Mary Wiemet from the Kenosha Community Health Center buy in too. I mean, so if we had the hospital systems, the community health center, the health department, board of health, man, would that be a powerful message.
Yep.
No, I agree, and I think that's the right way to go. You might have to give us, anybody on Medicare, a little bit more time to figure the Google Doc thing out, but we'll do it.
I have confidence in you.
So I think this is a really great plan, and man, do I appreciate your support, because we're drowning, and we need a life preserver thrown at us here. So this is very helpful, and hopefully, with Leanne working with the JIC, we can get this out far and wide. Simple message, but it'll really have some impact as the group together.
Hi, Jen. I'm just wondering, what kinds of things have you done to engage volunteers into the tracing process?
So we are working through WEVR, which is the Wisconsin Emergency Assistance Volunteer Registry. It's been around for like 20 years, since 9/11. It's a way that people can go in and they can put in, you know, every skill they have. I can stand on my feet for 12 hours. I'm bilingual, la, la, la. And the state does a background check. So we have, for Kenosha County, we have something like 90 people that are listed throughout the years in WEVR. So typically retired or whatever. So we put out 2 calls to them saying we need volunteers. We got 14, and then it got whittled down to maybe 7 that could actually help us as volunteers. So that's been the only route the only reason we haven't opened it up publicly is because of, you know, A, we need a certain level of clinical judgment, you know, to be able to do the jobs that we have in the health department. So we can't just take any Joe Blow off the street. It has to be some people with some sort of clinical, you know, even if it's medical assistant or, you know, dental or, you know, some sort of understanding of clinical judgment background to be able to do the job. That's why we've been working with the schools of, you know, different schools.
Well, I have somebody in mind for you who's a retired nurse, but I'm just wondering, as far as, I will contact her and have her get, because I think she'd be very willing. But I'm thinking publicly, couldn't you just put that out to, you know, looking for retired nurses and healthcare providers, for volunteers, to do some of that tracing to kind of help you guys catch up at, you know, at the health department a little bit, regardless of what happens state-wise or, you know, with funds or whatever to hire people. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people in the community who really, really want to help and just don't know how to go about it.
Our thing is, and we have advertised it, they have to go through the Weaver, because otherwise, if they have to go through county HR, there's all kinds of other legal and liability issues. But if they can go through the Weaver, the state pays for their background check, they have to take HIPAA training, you know, there's certain things that, so we have advertised, and maybe Leanne, that's a thing to advertise again, so that people can, it's, I'm going to put it in the chat feature too, but, oh, what's the website, Leanne? Do you know it? It's like weavrwi.org. So people can just go there and register that way. And that's the fastest way, you know, as opposed to an open call. There's all kinds of liability issues to come to the county with that.
I guess you have to just kind of put it out there as, oh, sorry, Diane. I was just going to say, just to even put it out there, though, that you, they know that that's what you're looking for. This is the process. It doesn't have to be through, you know, through the department, but I'm just saying this is the process. And I mean, I haven't heard anything about that. So, you know, I just don't know how much it's been publicized, but, you know, whatever media sources and social media and things like that, that you could get it out there. I bet you there are a lot of retired healthcare providers who would be more than happy, you know, some time to that. I think we're missing the
what
boat.
We found was that people could only dedicate like 8 hours a week, and it's like, man, we can't spend the amount of time it would take to train you to only have 8 hours a week. It would be a triaging nightmare. So that's sort of our dilemma right now too. But yeah, we have put it out in a press release, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. We should probably do it again. You know, we tried to put it out far and wide, and so I agree, that repetitive message there.
This is Diane. One population, they'd probably be kind of short term, is people that are actually being quarantined right now. Some healthcare workers are ending up being quarantined because of exposures or recovering or whatever. And if you're tagging healthcare workers, they've already got background checks. They've already have the background knowledge. It might be a source.
Yeah, because the training takes more than 2 weeks and they're only quarantined for 2 weeks, we would lose them before they were even done training them as part of the problem. I know. And we tried to look at the furloughed nurses. One other thing I wanted to update you all on is, you know, we have been running this pandemic without our top two positions in the communicable disease section. So as you probably remember, Gwen was the clinical services manager, and we've been without Gwen for over a year. And, you know, they were initially saving that position for the new health officer to hire. And so we've been running this whole thing without the clinical services manager. That's like my second in command person. And then Hortensia was our communicable disease supervisor, and she left for another much better, well-paying job in February. So literally right as COVID was starting, she left to go work for the VA. And that is the top communicable disease job in the health department. So we've been running this pandemic entirely from home. You know, everybody's been working from home remotely, all on Microsoft Teams. We, without the top two positions. So, I mean, the health department staff has been amazing, like beyond amazing, all that they've put up with and all the changes and how well this health department is running it. It's outstanding. So we have now filled the clinical services manager position. I wanted to let you know about, her name is Sherry Turner Caprillion. She's the infection preventionist from Fraser South. And she starts on June 8th. And so unfortunately, get your letter out before we lose, before they lose their infection preventionist because we stole her. And so lots of management experience, will be a good fit for the culture. She'll bring some diversity to our demographics. So that's a really good fit. We hired Sandy Light is our nurse practitioner. And I believe at the last face-to-face meeting, we had talked about how she wanted to retire. And I prevented that because of COVID. So she has been staying on full time to help us out because she's our only nurse practitioner. Well, we had a vacant nurse practitioner for over a year. We have now filled both of those nurse practitioner roles. Krista Tappa is a nurse practitioner. She starts next Tuesday. And Lupe Romero is a nurse practitioner, Mexican born immigrant, bilingual, male NP, unicorn. And he starts on June 1st. So we're so excited to build some diversity into the health department, to get some unicorn people in there. It'll finally fill some of these vacancies that have been empty for a long, long, long time. It'll allow Sandy to retire eventually because she knows what she wanted to do. So we're very excited now. We'll get some bodies in these roles. We told them all to be flexible, that when they're coming in, they're literally going to learn nothing but COVID. And maybe 6 months from now, they'll have to learn their real job, what they got hired for. So that'll give us some help, too, to get these three positions in to help do the jobs that have been vacant. Hortensia's position, when she vacated, we hired an internal person. It's Amanda Tura. She was our medically assisted treatment, our Vivitrol nurse. And she's moving up to this management position. So she's fabulous. And you'll meet her at a future meeting as well, too. You'll meet all of these people. And then Evan Gore, who was a public health nurse in our job center clinic, will be moving into that Vivitrol program. So now we're going to fill the public health nurse in the job center clinic. So we have all of this personnel stuff going on in the middle of all this, too. But we're excited. Some really great people that are going to bring really great skills to take this health department even further. So I'm excited to announce all that.
Good, good.
I'll put in on a personal note, because I worked a little bit with Sherry, just very little, but she was a rock star. She was very good and very responsive, so.
Good.
And I can certainly speak to Amanda, since Gianna is my niece. I've known Amanda for a long time, so she's, Amanda's fabulous, so I think she'll be a really good fit, too.
Yep.
I also know Sherry, and she's very good, and she communicates well with a lot of different people at a lot of different levels.
Yep. Exciting times. So that's all I really had, unless you have any other questions or what we're doing or what's going on.
I just have a couple more, Jen. But so as far as other programs within the health department, STI testing and, you know, like partner treatment, and do you have some other suggestions for right now, what we should be doing with things like that, that are other typical health department roles?
So at the beginning of COVID, we used our continuity of operations, continuity of government plan, and we had to close down everything except for Vivitrol. And
right.
So that
as
was
I know,
one
yeah.
thing, that was the one function we could keep. We were, you know, not forced that we had to keep. We're slowly starting to be able to add a couple things back on, but not much yet until we can get these volunteers and this workforce going. So we are doing some STI testing now. That can come back to us. We still aren't immunizing at all. And across the country, immunization rates are extremely low because of this. You know, the restaurant inspections are going to have to come back. You know, our drug UAs, the urine drops have been unobserved. So we've had a great deal of, what's the word I'm looking for? Tampering. With that. So, you know, that's going to be one that we don't have the resources and time right now for, because literally we have all hands on deck in COVID. And so, but STI a little bit, we've still been doing depo for people that were already on depo. So we're not doing new depo clients because the amount of time it takes but we are doing returning depot clients. So a little bit of the STI is coming back.
Do you kind of have a plan that those, they get referred somewhere specific, or is there not a plan like that? Okay.
We do have referrals, and I can get that list to you.
Okay. Okay. And then what about like nurse of the day type activities? Do you still have the, is your actual clinic open for things?
The clinic is open because we're still taking urine drops. Yeah, the clinic is still open with minimal services. But while they're in the clinic, the staff are doing mostly COVID stuff. So they're doing the urine drops and they're doing, you know, a couple of the, you know, the Vivitrol and the depot and, you know, some STI testing. But the nurse of the day is technically still there and the phone line is still there, but it's 100% COVID calls at this time.
Okay. And since you do have staff in there, are you still, are you having issues with like PPE, like the hospitals are? Are you guys things like that?
We had a stockpile and we were able early on to give a ton out to some long-term care facilities and which depleted our stockpile. And just this week, we got some new stockpile back in. So we are okay for now. And we have orders in, so as soon as companies start manufacturing more, we'll hopefully get more, and that will also guide what we can open and when, given how much PPE we have, but we're okay.
Right. And with, you know, most of that building being closed, I mean, are there adequate cleaning happening and things like that at the health department? Are you having issues with some of that kind of stuff?
So we have enough disinfectant because the only thing in that whole building that's open is our clinic. Nothing else is open. So the security guard literally has tables that just guide people into our clinic, and then they can go nowhere else, and our clinic staff is basically disinfecting and cleaning. And the health department in general, nobody's really in there. There's maybe five people in there, you know, a day max. Everybody's working from home, and we have a mask policy. If you're going to the bathroom or going to the break room, you have to wear a mask unless you're sitting at your desk. There's no disinfection needed for the rest of the building because literally it's dark in the whole rest of the building. Nobody else is out there.
Could I just interject on that too?
Yeah.
South 10 has been used by the county committees for meetings, and the general meeting for the county tonight is going to be in the lunch area in the main room there, south of John Jansen's office.
Yeah, you're bringing up your germs to our building.
So you'll have to, after tonight's meeting, you'll probably have a night sanitizing it again.
We're going to give you all bleach wipes and you can wipe it down when you go.
We should. I'll let the five people that don't want to wear masks do that.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, that's all I have, and I know we only have 5 minutes left. I cannot thank you guys enough. Dr. Foster, I appreciate you starting a letter, get it to Karen. She'll get it in a format you all can edit it, and that will be so supremely helpful.
Well, thank you.
Anyone have any other comments or questions?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Do we have a second?
Yep.
Have a great week, everybody.
Stay healthy, everybody. Bye.